You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to How To 20-Something. Today's episode is in relation to what I briefly talked about in episode 38, when you're working to integrate exercise into your schedule and use it as a tool to help you and not hurt you. Over the course of this episode, I am going to explain the harmful effects exercise can have on the body, 7 signs that you're doing too much in the gym, and how to get yourself out of this kind of sticky situation so your relationship to exercise can go from unhealthy to healthy. If you are someone who loves the gym and working out, listen up because you might be causing more damage to your body than you even realize. And I know because, as I said the other week, I used to be the queen of overtraining, and even now I sometimes get too carried away and suffer the repercussions for the next day or two. So let's dive into how you're treating your body and what shifts can be made so you maintain a healthy relationship with yourself and not feel beaten down by the end of your workout or even end of your week. Because your workout should leave you filled with energy and not like you're a zombie learning how to walk again. To begin, I'm going to define what overtraining is, because some of y'all might think your overtraining habit is normal when it comes to exercising, and it isn't. Overtraining is what happens when the intensity or the volume of the exercise you're doing exceeds your body's ability to recover and will hinder your performance for the next few days. Or if you continue to ignore your body's signals, then your performance will be so hindered, you'll reach a point of complete destruction, thereby increasing your risk of injury. And if you have physique goals, overtraining will actually push you further away from those goals due to all of the inflammation happening internally and your body's inability to recover. Overtraining often pairs with undereating, so not only are you overdoing it on the exercise side of things, but you're also not helping your body's ability to recover because you aren't properly nourishing it. Maybe you have a fear of gaining weight, or a goal to lose fat, or lose a lot of weight. So you think doing more will get you there faster. And this is where the saying less is more sort of comes into play. Because the more you try to do, the less you're going to see the results you're after. You want to be able to get to a point where you can do the least amount of work to elicit the most amount of change, and eat freely without the fear of gaining 10 pounds of fat. I know it sounds counterintuitive to do less and you'll be able to see more results, but your body can only handle so much stress. And yes, even the good kind of stress, like exercise, is still stress. And like I said, your workout should not leave you feeling depleted by the end of it, or even by the end of the day. It should leave you feeling really good. This post-exercise negative feeling happens a lot. It happens to me when I personally do cardio. I feel like absolute crap after a cardio class because of how much extra stress is put on my body. I feel like I can't function and need to lay down. Your workout should leave you feeling energized for the rest of your day, as I mentioned in episode 36, and I've mentioned now 3 times on this episode in the first less than 5 minutes. So if you're walking out of the gym dragging your feet or feeling lightheaded and woozy and like you need to lay down on the floor for an hour, then you did too much and need to dial it way back. And if you're chasing that feeling, then I think you need to have a serious conversation with yourself as to why you're working out, because it sounds like you're punishing your body rather than striving for good health. Sometimes, on days when I accidentally do too much, when the end of the day comes around, I feel like I can't even stand up to make my dinner, and that's not a fun feeling to have. Again, my job as a trainer puts a lot of steps into my day, and the days where I coach more than one group class, I know I can't also work out, because I know I'm already going to be walking a lot that day. We're talking 6 or 7 miles by lunchtime a lot. But that feeling of depletion is one of your first signs that you're doing too much, that you're overtraining. Another sign of overtraining is extreme fatigue, no matter how much rest you get. You feel like you can't get enough sleep and have low energy in all of your activities, whether that be work, play, gym, or regular household chores and errands. Then there's the opposite of feeling like you're not getting enough sleep. Well, it's not really the opposite, but it's not being able to fall asleep or stay asleep, for that matter. This is also what happens to me when I'm so tired by the end of the day and feel restless, like my brain and body can't relax, but my eyes can't stay open. And I lay there and think, damn it, I did too much today. I need to take a rest day tomorrow. So if you're experiencing insomnia where you can't fall asleep and this isn't a regular occurrence diagnosed by a doctor, or you can fall asleep but find yourself waking up throughout the night and not getting the deep sleep you need, so you wake up tired again, then you overtrained, or you're constantly overtraining, and you need to cool it for the next day or two. But other than feeling depleted, having excessive fatigue, or disturbed sleep, there are some other very obvious telltale signs of doing too much, as well as some hidden ones that you might not even realize is happening. And I'll say one of the biggest, easiest to recognize signs of overtraining is persistent muscle soreness, meaning it's also possible to overtrain certain muscles and not your whole body. Some soreness is normal after switching up your workout routine or pushing the weights a little harder than usual, but you should still be able to function as normal the next day and not be in a lot of pain, kind of like you have to search for the soreness. If you're new to strength training, then you are probably going to feel sore after almost every workout, since it's all new stimuli to your body, so it hasn't learned the adaptation process yet. But soreness for several days, or extreme soreness the day after or the 2 days after, is not a good thing. Remember my sunburn analogy from the other week? Your sunburn is your soreness? Too much isn't good, and you need to rest and recover before going back out into the sun again, or in this case, working out that muscle group again. I tell clients to let me know if they feel really sore the next day or two, so I know to make a note in their file to do a little less next time, and that we probably pushed the body a bit too far that time. This is going to happen every now and then. It's a learning experience to see how your body responds, and you can use that information as a baseline for what weights to choose the next time you do that workout. And then gradually increase the weights you're picking so you don't feel as though you need 1 to 3 business days to recover. But let's say you do accidentally take your workouts too far and wake up the next day with a lot of soreness. The best thing you can do for yourself is go for as many walks throughout the day as you can and drink a lot of water. Don't go back to the gym and work those muscles until that soreness is gone. Instead, go for walks to keep the body moving and blood flowing. Otherwise, the soreness, more so if it's in your legs, are going to feel so much worse because of how stiff you'll feel if you stayed seated the whole day. So walk it out. Even stretch it lightly. Do some yoga. Invite some good blood flow to enhance that healing and recovery time. Sign number four, that you've done too much in your workout or day in general is if you're experiencing some drastic mood changes. This is one of those kind of hidden ones. I know exercise releases dopamine and weightlifting releases testosterone, both of which can help your mood and make you feel happier and calmer, but overtraining has the opposite effect because, like everything in life, too much of anything is not a good thing. So instead of that happy and calm feeling, you're feeling more anxious and depressed and irritable and any negative emotion you can think of. Maybe you feel like you're experiencing a range of emotions where you're happy one moment and then one thing sets you off and your emotions fall all over the place. Honestly, through researching this episode, I can really pinpoint how my mood would drastically change when I was overtraining on the regular back in 2020. Yes, there were other stressful things going on and I was using exercise to cope with that stress, but I also know I probably overreacted or overresponded to a lot of things that were happening with my boyfriend at the time and my relationship with my mom. I could not get a good grasp on managing my own emotions. Again, taking it with a grain of salt because I was unemployed, my boyfriend was not the best, and my mom and I had our valid arguments. But it really makes me think that the amount of exercise I was doing was probably contributing to the negativity in my relationships. So, if your emotions feel fragile, regardless of the extra stress probably going on in your life, and you're unsure if you're overtraining, allow me to tell you that you are overtraining and you need to decrease the intensity and frequency of your workouts. Which, on that topic, if you're questioning how to decrease the intensities and you don't know how to do that, there is a formula that you can use, and it's sets times reps times weights per that body part, meaning you can decrease the sets, the reps, or the weights you're using to scale back how much you are working that specific body part or even your entire body on a weekly aspect. And I'll use a simple mathematical example of, let's say you're doing 3 sets with 3 reps in each set and using 3 pounds for dumbbells. Okay, so 3 times 3 is 9, times 3 is 27. That is your total intensity for that body part. If you're like, that was way too much, scale it back. Maybe it's 3 times 3 times 2. So it's 3 sets of 3 reps in each set using 2 pounds. So then it's 3 times 3 is 9, times 2 is 18. And now you're scaling that back. Quick little side tangent of that. But moving into the last 3 signs of overtraining that I'm going to mention today are largely exacerbated by your relationship to food. They are loss of appetite, hormonal imbalances, and increase in injury. So if you are experiencing decrease in appetite, not in a way where you're purposely trying to cut out calories, but on a day-to-day basis where you're exerting a lot of energy and aren't feeling very hungry, then you have done too much. I'm super guilty of this one too. I told you I used to have a bad relationship with my body and would hammer it down to prevent it from gaining unwanted fat. And now I'm here to help you avoid the mistakes I made. So I would do these hour to hour and a half long workouts outside in like 85, 90 degree weather and think it was so weird that I wasn't starving by the end of it. And there are a number of reasons for why this is happening. The biggest one is dehydration. When you are taking part in a lot of activity, you're going to be sweating a lot more and not replenishing your body with good electrolytes at the rate that you're expending this energy. Overtraining also places your body in a state of fight or flight because of how stressed out it is, even if you're choosing the stressed state and aren't actually being attacked. As a result, your nervous system is going to prioritize resources in your body for immediate energy instead of the food that's in your system, or halts the need for more food to enter your system because it believes it's fighting for its life, and needing food would get in the way of that survival instinct. Your blood flow will literally leave your digestive tract and significantly slow the digestive process down so that it can go to your arms and legs, as that's a signal you're sending your body of you need to move as quickly as possible and nothing else matters in that moment. You can also lose your appetite because your body is trying to regulate the energy within your body as your workout is exceeding the energy that food is providing. And as a result, your system is working to restore equilibrium between those energy sources. I know that sounds like it should have the opposite effect and make you more hungry, but your body loves to be balanced, so it's going to prioritize what's happening in its immediate environment before understanding what its actual needs are. And lastly, when you're excessively exercising, you're probably low in nutrients, and some nutrients play a role in appetite regulation. So when you've sweat out these nutrients, or your body has burned them for fuel, you are now lacking what you need to ignite that appetite, thereby reducing your hunger cues because you did too much. So if you aren't hungry after a lot of movement, mainly cardio, then you are overtraining. Overtraining can also severely impact your hormones. For example, if you are a woman and you experience irregular cycles or even amenorrhea, which is a loss of your period, then you are overtraining and thereby harming your body. Your period is the best sign that you are healthy because from an evolution standpoint, your body would not bring a child into a dangerous and stressful environment. And if you are sending extreme stress signals through your body through exercise, it's going to respond with not allowing you to reproduce as it's not safe to do so. Your period is your sign of good health and that your system is operating well. That is, if you aren't on any sort of birth control. This will also affect your sex drive. Again, because if you're stressed out, your body is not going to want to promote reproductive behavior. So low sex drive is also a sign of too much stress in your life. If you are suffering with acne along your jawline and cheeks, that is also a sign of hormonal imbalance. Now, I do want to say that I'm not a doctor, so if any of what I'm saying is alarming to you, please consult your doctor before making any changes. But your skin is your largest organ and will communicate to you anything that is happening internally. This can show up as acne, skin discoloration, eczema, psoriasis, and anything of the sort. That being said, in 2022, I was suffering with what looked like hormonal acne when what was really happening was I was having an allergic reaction to dairy. But I also know that in 2020, my skin was looking rough, and it was due to too much exercise on a regular basis. And the masks didn't help either. It wasn't until I cooled my workouts when I returned to work and then also started supplementing with ashwagandha, which is good for stress, did I start seeing improvements in my skin all the way up until I developed my dairy allergy. When you get to a point of helping your body instead of hurting it, it becomes much, much easier to pinpoint what's going on internally. My mom wanted me to see a dermatologist and go on Accutane or even start up with birth control, and I told her my skin problems are a symptom of something going on internally and that those are band-aid fixes. And I was right. At first, my skin was telling me my hormones were out of whack due to my workouts, and then 2 years later, my skin was telling me I wasn't digesting something well. Again, consult a doctor or a specialist before you make any bold moves, but I'm here to bring awareness to my own situations and experiences to hopefully wake you up to your own situations. And the last thing that I know I am also guilty of and was directly related to depriving myself of food while doing too much exercise is an increase in injury. Whether that's tearing, straining, or spraining a ligament or tendon or muscle, or dislocating or breaking a bone. When your body is overtrained, you are more prone to a decrease in coordination due to this fatigue, which will contribute to an increase in accidents and the severity of those accidents. Not to mention the nutrient deficiency due to the overworking and undereating, as that's what happened to me in college. And not just once, but twice. I don't want to scare you, but at the same time, I want to help prevent you from falling down my path and treat your body better because your body deserves better. During my sophomore year of college, I decided I was going to self-train for a half marathon and did zero research because my exact thought process was, how hard could it be? You just run 13.2 miles. So I set out to keep increasing the amount of miles I ran every single day, and was also not eating nearly enough nutrient-dense foods. My breakfasts were an apple or a banana with peanut butter and dry cereal, like Lucky Charms. So where's the protein? It was all sugar and carbs with a touch of fat. One of these runs was on campus, and class had just gotten out, so I had to run off the curb and back on a couple times, and one of those off-the-curb moments strained my Achilles. But I was determined. I was young and dumb, but determined nonetheless, so I kept on running. After about a month of doing that, another area in my foot started hurting, so much so that I would limp for the first mile until the pain numbed itself out, continued running for another 7 to 8 miles, come home, and then literally drag my foot for the rest of the day because of the amount of pain I was in. And I proceeded to do that for another 3 weeks until I finally grew some brain cells and went to the doctor. Funny enough, I actually went for my Achilles because by this point I had a bursa on my heel, which is like a little bump. But when I went in, I told them another spot was also bothering me. And they took x-rays and palpated my foot and came back with the news that I broke my foot. I'd like to say I learned from that experience, but during my senior year, I went right back into a new form of disordered eating and excessive exercising and went to play indoor soccer. At the start of the game, I went to cut and change directions, and my ankle disagreed with that, causing 4 fractured bones in my ankle and 6 weeks of wearing a non-weight-bearing cast, followed by 4 weeks in a boot. All because I was under-eating and overworking my body to fit a certain mold I had in my head and keep up my reputation in the family as being the smallest one. Overtraining can be so dangerous to your health, even when your intentions are to be healthy and work out. As we age, our bodies can only handle so much stress on it, especially because as we age, we have so much more stress in other areas of our lives. We're not as resilient as we once were. Our history of being an athlete and following those workouts will not support the aging version of you that exists today and will only continue to regress as time passes. It's time to flip the script as to how you're treating your body and why you're treating it in such a way that you don't end up like sophomore or senior version of me. So now that you can recognize the 7 signs and symptoms of overtraining, here's how to stop yourself from overtraining. Step 1 is always awareness. Recognize the signs. You're not going to fall into every box I just mentioned. So even if one of these categories stood out to you that you related to, then use that as a sign as you're doing too much. If you don't remember the 7 signs, start this episode over and re-listen to them because they are important and some of them are hidden. We're all different. We're all going to experience different effects from the same modalities, so it needs to start with you understanding how your body is responding to the workouts you're doing. I personally cannot handle a lot of workouts in 1 week anymore. On a good week, I can strength train 4 times, but most of the time I average between 2 and 3, plus a cardio day, which is usually where I'm playing a sport of some kind, and it's more of a social thing than anything. But that's also because personal training puts greater demands on my body than my desk job did. However, I see other trainers at the gyms that I work at do these crazy intense workouts and they have great bodies. Like one of them runs probably close to 50 miles in a week and strength trains and personal trains. But just because my body can't handle that type of intensity doesn't mean hers can't. Although, I have spoken to some of the females and they have not had a regular period for quite some time, if they even get it at all. So even though they aren't sore or having sleep issues or hormonal acne, it doesn't mean they aren't overtraining. What I'm getting at is what you're seeing on the surface. The surface being social media or in the gym is telling you a different story than what's actually happening underneath. So while step 1 is recognizing the signs, it's also taking time to listen to your body and strategically plan in recovery days. Your body is not meant to go, go, go all the time. It needs rest in order to heal and recover. And I think it's important to note that just because this workout regimen that you've been doing has worked in the past does not mean it will continue to support your lifestyle needs and energy demands for forever. Learn to adjust your workouts based on what's happening outside of the gym, as exercise should support the life you want to live, not dampen it. For example, when I had my 9-to-5, I was able to have a 6-day split routine with no repercussions. When I quit that job and moved to Charlotte, my activity level skyrocketed simply because I had the time to be outside so much more and I was no longer sitting at a desk for 9 hours a day. My body responded with gaining weight due to severe inflammation. And I had to scale back my workouts and not walk nearly as much in order to work with my body and not against it. My lifestyle changed, so my workouts had to follow suit. Step 2, after you've recognized the signs that you're overtraining your body, is to stop exercising. Yes, completely stop until your body is fully rested. You can also periodize your workouts so it's not the same intensity all year round. This is where you can introduce deload weeks where you go much lighter in weights, or if you're running, slower in running. There was a study done, I have no idea when, but over the course of 16 weeks, there were 2 groups that worked out. Group 1 trained for 3 weeks and then took 1 week off, and group 2 trained all 16 weeks, and there was little to no difference in muscle built during this time. So taking a week off will not harm your progress. You can do mobility or yoga or walking or use light weights during this time or on any active recovery day that you take if you are someone who is extremely consistent with the gym and actually needs to take a break from it. Which, honestly, if the thought of taking a week off from the gym terrifies you because you go 5 to 7 days a week and don't want to lose your progress, then allow me to be the first to tell you that you're probably overtraining due to this unhealthy relationship that you have with exercise. Again, you're not going to lose the progress you've built in the time you take off. But your body is clearly communicating to you that it's exhausted, so you need to cool it with the workouts for however long it takes for you to stop experiencing the effects of overtraining and then add another day or 2 for good measure. This is especially true for my athletes who are used to these extreme workouts. Rest and recover, and your body will thank you for it, and not hold on to all this extra water or fat because now you aren't stressing it the fuck out. So to repeat, step 1, recognize. Step 2, rest. Step 3, I wish it was an R, but it's not. It's ask yourself why you're working out, or what do you want from your workouts, because that answer is also going to change over time. I've said it before, I work out for general health, but really for my mental health and to look good naked. Of course, All of the other benefits are incredible as well, such as balancing my hormones, getting to eat a lot more food because of my faster metabolism, the community at the gym, and aging gracefully. That is, if you are using it and not abusing it. But why you're working out could change from looking great to being able to play with your kids, to being a good spouse to your partner, to being more focused and disciplined at work, to your overall confidence in how you perceive yourself. Exercise has so many benefits that impact other parts of your life when you use it properly and have a healthy relationship with it. And you're not chasing skinny, but you're chasing strength and health and longevity. Another way to help with overtraining is eat more and stay hydrated, which those are pretty self-explanatory given that one of the reasons why you are feeling the effects of overtraining is because you're undereating and dehydrated. Hit your protein, your carbs, and fats. Consult a professional if you need help figuring out what that is for your unique body or how to do it. Add electrolytes to your water and drink more than half your body weight in ounces of water. The actual formula for how much water you need is your weight divided by 2, plus 20 ounces for every hour of exercise, plus 20 ounces for how hot it is outside, in case you were curious about how much you should be drinking for your body. But all in all, stopping the negative effects of overtraining involves a combination of strategic planning, listening to your body, fueling yourself properly, and implementing recovery modalities. And remember, less is more when it comes to fitness. Doing more cardio or strength training will not give you faster results. And if it wasn't clear enough by now, doing more will work against you and your aesthetic goals. It took me a while to get to a place where I'm okay with a lot of rest days, and my body also rebelled a bit because it was so used to the extreme stress I was placing on it. So know that you might also experience a rebound period with some extra weight gain or water retention. But play the long game, trust the process, and before you know it, your body will be thanking you for the decrease in strenuous activity. And you'll be able to take a week off or go on a trip without the fear of losing everything you've built. Actually, if you've ever gone on a trip and realized how much better your workouts were afterwards, then you probably fall into the realm of overtraining. But the last thing I want to touch on is both men and women can overtrain their bodies. It does take a lot more for men to suffer the repercussions because they have stable hormones and better muscle building capabilities. So if you're a woman, don't compare yourself to a male that's on the same journey and doing the same thing. Our bodies are completely different and will respond in very different ways and at very different rates. And as always, if you need help with this type of direction and trusting the process of scaling back, please reach out to me as I know how hard it is on your mind to do less when you want to lose weight or look better. The link to my calendar is in the show notes. It is always going to be in the show notes. But please do your body a favor and cool it with your workouts. You should walk out of that gym feeling energized and alive and not like a zombie. But otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20 Something. If you liked what you heard, please share it on social media or with a friend. Maybe a friend who notoriously overtrains their body or thinks more is better. And thank you for listening to this podcast. I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.